our Savvy listeners, and welcome to the Savvy Girls Podcast. This is Deborah.
And this is Melanie.
And we are together today, and we're doing a bit of a unique podcast. We have put a variety of topics in a hat. Well, actually, in a little bag. And I haven't seen the topics Melanie wrote, and Melanie hasn't seen the topics I wrote, and Savvy Mom threw in a few. And basically, we have a timer, and we're going to give ourselves 5 minutes per topic that we pull out of the hat slash bag, and we're going to talk about each one. Normally, when we podcast, we do a little bit of editing, or maybe a lot of editing.
Depending on what we're talking about.
Sometimes we start a sentence and it doesn't finish the way we want it to, or sometimes we say or aw, or we get way off topic.
And occasionally, there's some kind of swear bomb dropped by accident, usually by me.
Family show.
So we are spending quite a bit of our time editing in order to get the podcasts out. And so we thought it would be fun to give it a try with a zero editing podcast. No guarantees that we will be successful, but we're going to give it a try. So sit back. Or don't sit back.
Lean forward anxiously,
because we might be embarrassing ourselves.
Tap on the table with your knitting sticks and enjoy whatever this is going to be.
Whatever this turns out to be.
And P.S., I am getting over a cold, so I sound like a dude.
And I say, wait, hey, it's just an ordinary day, and it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right.
All right, I've got the timer ready. You've got the hat.
I've got the hat. All right, I've pulled one out.
Okay, what does it say?
Ways you could use knitting tools for purposes other than knitting.
Is that mine?
No, that one's mine.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It is a good one.
Okay, go. Oh, wait. I don't know how to make this go.
We have to work the timer now. Oh, okay. There we go.
All right, read it again, please.
Ways you could use knitting tools for purposes other than knitting.
Well, I have one.
Go for it.
This is something I'd usually edit out, and it's the first thing. Okay, I have used crochet hook and sock needles to scratch my ear.
Can we give background there?
My ear gets itchy, man.
You have a little bit of emphysema in your ear.
Just like,
right?
Eczema?
Eczema?
I don't know.
Oh, eczema. Emphysema is a little bit different. See, that would be one of those things we often edit out because then I feel stupid.
But too late. No editing.
So Melanie has a lung disease in her ears.
I don't. Is emphysema? I thought that was heart. No, anyway. Okay. I don't want to show my ignorance. Anyway, I've got a bit, just a little bit of itchy in my ear sometimes, and what better to scratch it with than a knitting tool, especially when it's your sister's?
I have taken a knitting needle and twisted my hair up into a bun.
Ooh.
And used that to keep my hair back.
I've given a knitting stick to the dribbles to eat, but only when it's bent. Bamboo. They like bamboo.
You really?
It was already broken.
Broken.
Cracked.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
That's sacrilege.
Have you ever... This is for Deborah. If you drop something in one of those grills on the street, if you dropped your dime, you could put a piece of gum on the end of your knitting stick and get it back with that.
So those are knitting needles. I suppose if you had a circular knitting needle, you could use it to tie somebody up.
Or as a murder tool.
Oh, well, anyone you could use as a knitting tool, because you could stab a knitting tool. As a murder tool, because you could stab someone.
I was thinking of...
Strangulation?
Yeah, strangulation.
Yeah, there's that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was thinking you could maybe tie up a criminal or a lover or something.
If you have Addy turbo needles, you could murder extra fast.
Because they're extra fast.
They're turbo needles. Not that we murder anyone.
We have 3 minutes left.
Oh, dear. Okay, what other things? You could use your yarny yarn for things. You can use
Your yarny yarn.
To make...
As in your yarn?
Gerbils like chewing up yarn. They do.
They do. Definitely. I use yarn sometimes as stitch markers, but that's using a knitting tool for a knitting tool. Just so I can expand on that idea, if I have no stitch marker, I'll just take a little piece of yarn and I'll tie it in a loop, and then I use that as a stitch marker.
If your hair falls out, you can make yourself a wig out of wool.
Absolutely. You could be Raggedy Ann.
You could be Raggedy Deborah.
You could be Raggedy Deborah.
You could.
By the way, my hair is not currently falling out. You could tie your hair back.
Tie your hair back. Piggy tails.
Definitely.
Oh, I have one that Savvy Mom uses all the time.
Oh, what's
She'll
that?
Put wool on or yarn on luggage.
Oh, yes.
To identify it.
So not just one piece, though. She takes 10 strands and then wraps it around the handle and ties it in a knot, and then it's colorful.
Because if there's acrylic on your luggage, no one's going to steal it. Sorry, Mom. Love you, Mom.
I didn't say it.
I'm in trouble already.
Okay, all right. Should we move on to the next topic?
No,
it's been less than five minutes.
No, we have to hit 5 minutes. What else is a good news? What other knitting tools are there?
Well, there are all
sorts. Stitch counter. Yes. You could use that as a...
step counter? It would be really slow. You take one step, click. Take another step, click. That would not be great.
That wouldn't be great.
No. Stitch markers that you could use as...
earrings or nipple rings.
You could use that as a nipple ring.
I don't have a nipple ring, by the way, people.
But that would be the locking stitch markers. The ones that open.
Right.
You would put through.
Well, I was thinking you'd have one of those hoop earrings, and you'd just stick it on the hoop earring as a dangly.
I suppose. I mean, if you had an extra large hole, you could probably use the locking stitch marker to go right through the hole.
Okay.
All right, we just looked at the clock again. 46 seconds left.
Okay, wait.
Okay.
Dental floss. You could use your yarn as dental floss.
You could.
Deborah, is that alpaca in your teeth?
You would be replacing one item with another, which would be colorful fibers, perhaps. I wouldn't use it as dental floss very often. But maybe some hard-wearing lace weight would be useful.
I'm worried we're going to run out of time, actually, because I thought of something that... Can we just talk about your stupid lip gloss? Your sheep gloss. We've never really talked about that. So disgusting.
We have 14 seconds left. While I was at the New York State Sheep and Wool Festival in Rhinebeck, this year, in October 2011, I really needed lip gloss because my lips were really, really dry. And I went to one of the booths and they were selling lip gloss. And so I bought one, and the main ingredients in the lip gloss, first ingredient was beeswax and the second ingredient was lanolin.
It's sheep goo. She put sheep goo on her lips. It stinks.
And it kind of smells like sheep. I mean, it's technically not sheep smell. It's supposed to be Madagascar vanilla.
It smells like sheep.
But it kind of smells like sheep. And you know what? I'm still using it.
And that's a way to use your sheep for ways other than just sheepy ways.
Other than knitting.
Okay, alarm off.
Thank goodness that one's over.
Okay, you need to pick a new category.
Please pick something.
Uh-oh, we've had 2 Twitter suggestions. Maybe we'll go to Twitter suggestions later.
Okay, we'll do Twitter suggestions next.
Okay, I need to reset this silly alarm.
Oh, this one's a good question. This one came from Savvy Mom.
What is it?
When are you going to learn to crochet? And what will you make when you do?
That's the one she wanted us to take out.
It's a really good one, though. All right. When are you going to learn to crochet? And what will you make when you do? Let's start. When will you learn to crochet, Mel?
I will learn to crochet when Savvy Mom stops being hurt that I mock her about crochet and deigns to teach me.
I'm sure she would teach you in any moment.
You think so? If I ask her today?
Yeah, she would teach you.
Should we call her in speakerphone and ask her? Let's do it.
Oh, no.
Let's do it.
But you can't make fun of her, because you'll make her cry.
I won't. I think the phone's off the hook.
You're special.
Oh, so there's a message.
Don't check the message while we're recording.
This is why we edit.
Now we're waiting for it to ring. Thank goodness we have something to do while the timer goes down. Question, maybe.
She's gonna yell at me. Okay, well, she won't even answer her phone.
Well, that was good. That took up 40 seconds.
Poor listeners. Okay, so I do not believe Savvy Mom would agree to teach me to crochet. I don't believe so.
Okay, so for me, I have a friend.
Uh-huh.
Her name is Dominique, and she is an avid crocheter. And a little while ago, maybe 3-4 months ago, she challenged me. She learned how to knit because she listens to the podcast and because there are lots of knitting patterns out there that she wanted to make. And so then she wrote to me and said, so when are you going to learn to crochet? And she challenged me to learn to crochet, and she gave me a month. And I said, sure, I'll do it in the next month, and then the month passed, and I didn't.
Well, we were in Ecuador.
Well, I've been traveling and stuff. So I failed that challenge. But actually, learning to crochet is on my to-do list. And if there's time during this visit, which there's a day and a half left, I was going to get Savvy Mom to teach me how to crochet, and so I might have to bring her up on that offer. And if not, then I suppose I could do it because I have some time off of work coming up, some statutory holidays. So maybe I'll invest one of those days in YouTubing and learning how to crochet.
But do you think Savvy Mom would be hurt if you learned off the internet?
I don't think so, because we don't live in the same continent. So if we ran out of time during, you know, the time when I'm at home, and I wanted to learn anyways, All right, what would you want to crochet?
Origami moomies.
That's what I would want to crochet.
That's what I want to crochet
faster. Origami moomies.
Moomy moomies. I would do an unhappy cloud and then an angry bird. And then...
Like Angry Birds?
No, an just angry an angry-looking bird. Okay. It would probably be blue or maybe purple. And
I think I'd like to do an owl.
That how would big? Be would it be a big owl? Or no, I guess it can be. It's a moomy moomy.
It can be as big as you want it to be. Okay. By the way, the new word is moomy moomy. If you want to make an origami moomy moomy.
Moomy moomy.
Yeah, maybe an owl or perhaps if anyone listens to this episode and has a good... pattern that you think
toilet. I'm gonna make a toilet with a little seat that goes up and down somehow.
Okay, I was going to say if someone wants to recommend a really cute moomy moomy for as a good beginner moomy moomy crochet pattern,
maybe a little
pattern.
Poop in the toilet.
A little poo in the toilet.
I'd wear it as a necklace. People would say, "What set are you wearing? Is it puffy cloud?"
It's crochet poo.
It's crochet poo. That's what I would do.
You love crochet, because the very first thing you want to make is poo.
Second, I want to make it
the toilet
public first. Toilet first. But we love crochet. We love crochet.
Well, we love it, because if it weren't for crochet, you couldn't make crochet poo.
I wonder if Savvy Mama's brown... Oh, you have brown yarn that you're making?
There is plenty of brown yarn out there that you could make poo out of. I mean, I suppose we could make knitted poo, too, but that just wouldn't be the... It wouldn't be moomy moomy poo.
30 seconds more. What would you... Your second project be?
It's a little boring, but I think a market bag. A grocery bag.
Made of granny squares? I think I would bring back the granny square. I mean, I know some people think it's back, but it shouldn't be. I would bring it back.
I think you would need to make yourself a granny square poncho.
One of these really long ones that go to the ground, because I'm pretty short.
Pretty much, yeah.
4.5 foot long.
Oh, poncho. Thank good, hallelujah. 5 minutes are over.
Okay, now we're going to go to speed round, because we had Twitter suggestions.
Okay, so this is a 3 minute?
No,
please.
This is going to be 2.5 each.
Okay.
Okay, first question. How about the oddest places we've knitted, other than stoplights and subways?
Okay. Oddest place I knit, I think, was when we were in Ushuaia, and I knit from the back of a horse. We were on our horseback ride.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to... Well, I didn't have to.
You had to. The voices.
The voices told me that I had to knit, and we have pictures of me knitting from the back of my very large winter horse. It was one of those horses with long hair, and they were quite sturdy.
Well, it wasn't a Clydesdale, because it wasn't as big as one.
No, and he had long hair. Mm-hmm. But anyways, back of the horse in the southernmost city in the world.
That's a pretty... odd place to knit.
Yes. I've had other weird places, but your turn.
I've not really knit anywhere strange.
I knit at the gym.
The weirdest place I've knit is pretty much nowhere, because I don't knit that much, and I guess I'm a pretty vanilla lifestyle knitter. I've not knit anywhere where I shouldn't have.
I knit at the gym.
Oh, I've got one.
Okay.
I was in Cosi Fan Tutte, and this was ages ago.
Where is that?
It's an opera.
Okay.
By Mozart.
Oh, you were in it.
I was
not
in it.
You were performing in it.
I was performing in it, sort of, because I was in the chorus. This is back when I was in school. And the chorus seriously sings 32 bars in the entire opera.
Boring.
And I know. And they had us do it from the back of the theater. This was nigh on 12 years ago. So we had to do it from the back of the auditorium behind this thing. And we had to sit there for a 3.5 hour opera. And at the time, keep in mind it was something like 12 years ago, I thought it was a good idea to knit a gerbil blanket, where I would knit, and then purl the shape of a gerbil.
Okay.
It didn't really work. I think it's under my grandma's bed at this point, or under a bed in her house. And it was acrylic. I just didn't know. But I spent hours and hours knitting, and that's before Deborah even knew that knitting existed.
I knew it existed. I just wasn't a crazy knitter at that point. I've knit at the gym. I said that 3 times, but basically, actually, there was a gym in my office building, and I would go to the gym at the office, and other colleagues would be there, and I would be sitting on the exercise bike and knitting.
Would you actually be using the bike?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not just occupying the seat.
So that's a pretty crazy place.
Yeah, and I got some weird looks, but you know what? I didn't care.
Okay, next Twitter question. Worst yarn ever. Hashtag podcasting fun.
Worst yarn ever?
Hmm.
The worst yarn that I've worked with? Okay. Yeah. I don't wanna bash people, but the Punta Yarns, you know, the company that...
We went there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We went there, and I think it was their Mary sock,
uh-huh,
where there was a nylon core to it. There was this nylon string in the middle, and it was like a hair in the center that had no stretch.
Ooh.
Whereas the rest of the yarn had stretch, and so it would move along. The merino would kind of move up and down the center, and I ended up ripping out the center.
Oh, like, I remember when you did that. You just pulled. You were in town here. You pulled and pulled and pulled.
I pulled and pulled and pulled, and I'd get a couple meters worth of yarn.
Almost yards for you Americans.
Yeah. I think a meter is slightly longer than a yard.
I don't know. Go on.
Okay. Anyways, I ended up having to rip out the entire nylon core in order to be able to knit with it, and it was not a good experience. But the end result turned out to be okay once the nylon core was gone, but not a good... I mean, maybe it was a mistake one? I don't know. But it was not a good experience.
I actually have an answer for this one.
Okay.
Remember that yarn I bought in London at Loop?
Yeah, what was it called?
I don't remember. Shoot, I will remember, though. We'll put it in the show notes. And it wasn't Loop at all. They were fantastic. I brought the yarn back to them. And what happened was, it was so delicate that I was trying to knit hand warmers, and every time I tried to loop it around, the yarn would break.
Oh, my goodness.
It just broke. I gave it to you. It's that pretty blue-green.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful, and it's dyed using natural techniques, and I think it's an older woman who owns the company, and they've owned it for years, and it probably was just, because they said it's a good seller, they said they've never heard problems like this before, it was probably just a bad batch, my luck. And Loop was fantastic about taking it back, and I exchanged it for some wool miser. So,
oh, not a bad exchange.
Not a bad exchange.
And I still have the wool, so I'm going to see what I can do with it. Maybe I'll twist it with another wool and then be able to...
Because it's beautiful. It was a beautiful wool. It's just sad that it came apart
so
like
delicate.
That.
My goodness.
I know. Yeah, so delicate. So those are the Twitter questions that we got. And thank you to Slow Knit, Deb, and the Sick Chick, Julianne, for those questions.
Can you set the alarm for fewer than 5 minutes for this one?
3 minutes?
Yeah, maybe 3 minutes.
What's the question?
Toilets and knitting techniques.
Oh, no, there was a reason for this.
Okay.
This was mine, toilets and knitting techniques.
Okay.
This is something I've wanted to talk about for a while.
Okay.
Do you remember when you were a kid, Deborah?
Yes.
Every bathroom was different. There was none of this hands-free toilet flushing. Some toilets you had a little knob. I guess the ones in Europe, sometimes you had a thing you pulled from above, a chain.
Yes.
Some of them had that button you pushed.
That's true.
Some of them had a pedal.
That's right.
Some of them had a thin thing. Some of them had a normal...
Clearly, I know what that meant.
I just thought it would be a good metaphor, kinds of toilets to kinds of ways people knit. Just like there's a toilet for every dump. There's a technique for every knitter. So now it's your turn.
What? Well, can you give an example?
Well, I mean, myself, I'm a little nervous when I use a toilet. I was on a toilet the other day with a push button. Because first, it's a small surface, a lot of germs on the button. And what if it doesn't work? It's just a button.
Right.
You feel a little more secure pressing a knob or waving your hands.
You can get a little bit more momentum with a knob than you can with a button.
Yeah, and you don't want to leave your nasty in the toilet.
You don't want to leave your nasty in the toilet.
And just like you don't want to leave your nasty, as a knitter, you don't want to leave all the yarn on the ball if you're knitting something.
Good point.
Something.
Now, speaking of toilets and flushing techniques, when I lived in Argentina, my toilets at home, you actually had to flush them in a certain way. You couldn't just press, it was kind of a handle that you had to kind of push down. And you couldn't just push it down at normal speed. You had to go...
Really?
Yeah, and you had to get... There was a certain amount of momentum that you had to get. Because if you just pushed it down and up, you wouldn't get enough water pressure in order for all the nasty to go down the toilet. Anytime there were guests, I had to demonstrate how to flush the toilets in order to get the nasty to disappear.
I don't really know the metaphor, but great story, Deborah.
No, that was just a story.
And also...
It was that it's true that sometimes you need to get momentum in your flushing. You have to work on your flushing technique, so it's most effective. Which also means you have to work on your knitting technique, so it's most effective.
Well, yes, and in Europe, sometimes there's two buttons. There's a button on top.
There's the poo button and the pee button.
Yeah, and just sometimes you want to double strand your yarn, and sometimes you want a single strand.
It's confusing also, because I never know which button is the pee button and which one's the pee and poo button.
Sometimes you just press them all.
I think when you press them both, it's the pee and poo button.
Depends on the toilet.
Really?
This is supposed to be a metaphor. We're supposed to be talking about knitting. And do you remember that? I can't say that. That time when I came to visit you when we said, what what's that stink? And then it turned out it was your guest bathroom because no one had flushed it right and it had sat there for something like 2 months.
It was not 2 months. But yeah, the toilets don't always flush properly in South America. Apparently, South American poo is smaller than North American poo. And it doesn't...
I don't think this is a metaphor anymore.
It doesn't always go down the toilet.
But time up, time's up.
Oh, thank God.
Okay.
All right, pulling out another one. Oh, this one's not mine because I didn't rip any of the papers.
5 minutes, go.
How many words can you make out of the letters that spell knitting?
Okay, maybe we're going for 2 minutes.
Knit. And knit as in what you have in your hair when one has lice.
ITT, like that ITT Technical Institute they advertise on TV on no. Spokane.
No.
There's knit, like, in your hair, like, when you have lice.
That's what I just said.
The time you had lice.
I just said knit.
Oh.
You can't... Yeah, I have to see the letters to know...
There's git. I believe that's British for you're a git.
You're an idiot?
Yes.
Usually we're pretty good at this kind of thing.
That's why I thought it would be a fun thing to do.
Jeez.
There's only a minute left. Sorry, people. In?
Oh, there we go.
Also, it. Also...
An I?
Ig. If you hold this, ig is so hard. See, I-G, dictionary.
See, for all of those people out there who are listening and naming...
Ig, no. A class of proteins produced in lymph tissues in vertebrates that function as antibodies in the immune response. I'm right.
Clearly you knew that.
Also, it's an adjective used to denote an ignorant...
Oh, tit.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Only 4 seconds left anyways. I'm really sorry for this podcast, people.
That was a time they could have visited their toilets and practiced their flushing techniques during that conversation.
Okay, here's one, and I think it's mine.
Okay, 5 minutes, go.
Name a life experience you haven't had that you would like to have.
Knitting related?
No.
Oh.
Just a life experience.
Okay, you go first. I need to think.
Well, some people might say skydiving, but I don't want to do that. Life experience that I would like to have. I would like to throw a really great party. But not... Party as in wild drinking, but party as in pretty, pretty dessert table and lots of pretty centerpieces, and it to be the kind of thing where people leave and say, that was the prettiest and best
event
that I've ever attended.
Would it be a key party?
A key party?
A key party, like in the 70s.
I don't know what that is.
In the 1970s, they would do that sort of thing, and
yeah.
Every couple would leave, say all the women would leave their keys by the front door. And the men would pick the keys.
No, it would not be a swingers party.
Okay. You sure?
I was thinking more of Martha Stewart-style dessert table.
Oh, there could be that at a swingers party, too.
That was not the life experience I was hoping to have.
Oh.
I just really want to make a really pretty party.
Would there be pierogies?
No.
Oh.
Unless it were... No, there would be no pierogies at my pretty...
Would there be pumpkins?
It depends. If it were a fall party, I might do pumpkin centerpieces. What life experience would you like to
have? Wait, would I be invited to this party?
It depends whether you leave your keys at the door.
I don't own a car or a house.
It depends.
Sad.
If you're planning to swing at my party, no.
I don't know who you'd invite to that. So we'll talk about it.
What's life experience?
Okay. I would like a pheasant.
Okay. Can you give the background to this?
Not to eat. We were at the pet store the other day getting Deborah's dog... A hamster
water bottle. It to go on her crate when she travels, because often they don't let animals have water, etc., etc.
And we walk by the budgies, because we like budgies pretty much.
We walk by the animals.
But the budgies and the gerbils. The gerbils are pretty cute, but mine are cuter. Oh, and there were these guinea pigs without hair they call skinny pigs. I really want one.
They were pretty naked.
They were so ugly cute. But there was a pheasant... And his name was Stanley. I named him.
Okay.
And he was so cute. And
he was OCD.
And I want this pheasant really badly.
He kept going in the same loop. And it was probably the loop had a diameter of 4 inches. And he was going, and he had a little bell. And he would go under his perch, around in a circle, around the bell, ringing it as he went. And then again, under the perch, around the circle, ringing the bell. And he did it hundreds of times.
He was so cute. He's a pheasant. So he walks kind of like a chicken.
A little bit not wobbly, but waddly.
And he's a mini pheasant. So he was really just like a fistful of bird.
He was pretty cute. And crazy.
Well, Savvy Bro took a video.
Yeah.
So he will put that up in the show notes if you want to see this.
Savvy Brother's cursing you right now. Because now he has to figure out how to get that from his phone onto the internet.
I bet he knows.
Okay, so, another life experience I would like to have. I would love to live in the same town as my family, to have my own place, but to just sort of have that comfortable life where you can meet up with your sister and go to the mall and, you know, or run errands together, or then have a meal on a, let's say, a Sunday afternoon and get together with your family and just have that comfortable, cozy lifestyle where you're just sort of living, but with family nearby. I haven't had that experience as an adult.
That'd be really nice.
That would be really nice. I know that perhaps was a little bit sad, but I would love that.
I would love that too. I would like to be a pirate.
You wouldn't be the pirate, you would be the wench.
I wouldn't be the wench, I'd be Captain. Captain Savare.
Captain Savare.
And I'd have a monkey and that pheasant.
On your shoulder.
I don't really want a monkey. I'm not a big person. I'm not a big primate.
Especially after you were felt up by that monkey.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with monkeys, but...
When Melanie was in Ecuador, in case you didn't hear the story, she went to visit an animal rescue and there was a chimpanzee, maybe?
I don't know, some kind of a monkey.
And it reached its hands through the bars and grabbed her boob.
Yeah.
And then grabbed it again. It started by taking her hand and then moved quickly to her boob.
They're nice boobs.
He was a little bit forward for monkeys, as monkeys go.
Actually, I've always wanted to find a sand dollar. That's something I've always wanted to do.
Okay. A live sand dollar?
No, not a live one. Because although I want them to live, I also want to take one home. And say, look, here's a sand dollar that I found. A perfect sand dollar. That's something I've always wanted to do.
That would be exciting and very pretty.
I know.
And you don't want it to have died unnecessarily?
No, it would just be washed up on the tide. I wouldn't know how it met its tragic end. That's my life experience I'd like to have.
There we go.
And out of time.
The next one.
This vocal rest is going well. Okay.
Okay, this one's mine.
Uh-oh, okay. Read it while I get the timer ready. How many minutes do you think we need?
Let's go for three.
All right.
What is the most awkward Christmas gift someone could get from their parents?
Okay, I need to think for a second.
I would say gift certificate for liposuction would be pretty awkward.
That would be pretty awkward, yes. What about, online dating gift certificate? Is that helpful or awkward? It depends on your parents.
Depends on your parents, and depends if you're currently married.
Right. Right.
If you're not single at the time, really awkward. Maybe we need less than 3 minutes for this one.
No, I have lots of ideas. Awkward Christmas or Hanukkah present.
Well, yeah.
Or Kwanzaa or
any solstice, birthday gift. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Awkward gift.
No, because birthday, your whole family isn't necessarily around you.
Okay, right.
A thong. First, because it's very uncomfortable, and I don't know that I want to try it on. I don't wear thongs. No. And I definitely wouldn't want to do that to myself in front of other people.
Well, I would say not necessarily just a thong, but any kind of slinky lingerie. Awkward.
How about a vibrator?
Definitely awkward.
What if your grandma gave you a vibrator?
You know, I would say I had a really cool grandma.
That's a good point.
But it would also perhaps be a little awkward.
I guess milk if you're lactose intolerant.
Yeah, anything that you're allergic to, that your parents are well aware that you're allergic to. Certain advice could definitely be, if they just gave you advice for Christmas.
Yeah.
That could definitely be awkward.
What sort of advice?
Oh.
Stop knitting. Get a life. Get a job.
Get a job. 8 seconds left. We're done.
We're done. Okay.
Oh, thank goodness. How long have we been recording?
We're halfway through.
Oh, God. Everybody, I love you, but we're very...
There's lots of good questions left.
Okay, there are. Okay, here's a good one that Melanie wrote.
What?
Ways to keep in shape while you knit.
All right. Do you want to start?
So going back to when I went to the gym in my office and I knit while on the exercise bike, you have to be careful not to get it caught in the wheels or in the pedals.
That's true.
But I did. I got my 45 minutes worth of extra biking.
Extra biking?
While knitting.
Kegel exercises.
Definitely.
No better time.
There is no better time,
and
really.
If you don't know what those are, ask your grandma, because she has given me advice about that.
Well, she does.
She does.
Bubby does give advice about that, because it helps with preventing incontinence.
Yes.
Does incontinence mean pee, or is it just referring to poop?
I'm pretty sure it's pee.
Okay.
But no, our Bubby does give us advice about when and how to do Kegel exercises.
Should we share it?
Well, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, so the advice that I've had from my grandmother about the Kegel exercise is don't just sit down and urine.
Yes.
And urinate. You sit down... You urinate for a short while, then you stop completely, and then you start again, and then you stop, and then you start again. And it's not the easiest thing to do, especially when you have to pee a lot, very badly.
Like a waterfall.
But that's one way to strengthen your... She doesn't phrase it in terms of Kegel exercises, she phrases it in terms of keeping your... No, well, keeping your... Because, you know, as you age, it becomes harder and harder not to pee when you laugh. Or
especially with you being funny all the time.
Or pee when you sneeze. Or cough or something. So, apparently, you have to stop the flow and start it again, and that works your muscles. Okay, one of the ways that I had it in my head that I would exercise while knitting, but then it didn't work so well, is I bought one of those yoga balls, the big ones that you sit on.
Oh, bouncy.
Yeah, and I thought I would sit on that while I was knitting, and it would help with balance and etc. But it turned out that it terrified my dog. And my poor dog would have some version of a heart attack and a seizure. Not really. But she was extremely scared of it, to the point where if she was aware of its presence, she would hide under the bed for hours.
Oh.
So I kind of felt that I was torturing her, so I had to abandon my exercising. But that was my idea, is that if you sit on there, and you can even lift your feet and balance, knit, balance.
Well, you knit while you're walking your dog.
Yes, I knit while I'm walking a lot, actually. I don't...
She's that crazy person mumbling to cats.
I'm actually that crazy person talking to my dog in a language that most people don't understand. Because, you know, everyone speaks Spanish. So I'm talking to my dog in English.
Oh, English. I thought you meant cat language.
No. So I walk in Bogota or Argentina or whatever. And I knit and I talk to Kefir at the same time. But really, for most people, I'm just talking some kind of nonsense and knitting. And often my dog, because I walk her off leash... So often she's sniffing behind a tree so they can't even see her. I am the crazy girl in my neighborhood.
You are. Oh, we've got... Okay, let's see. We still have 2 minutes left. What other exercise could you do while you're knitting, even if we haven't done it?
You could do leg lifts and stuff.
You could do sit-ups. Knit! Knit!
You could definitely, from sitting from the chair, you could definitely do leg lifts. If you're willing to stand, you could do calf raises.
Mm-hmm. Or you could keep your elbows up while you knit. Like... Guess I can't show this on the podcast.
You could just... Like no, I'm just making kind of chicken arms.
And let's move on. Close the page.
Whoops.
Leave
your hand slipped. Okay, this is a good one.
How many minutes do you think?
Somewhere between 2 and 3.
3. Go.
What I will never, ever knit.
Who put that in?
Ever. Melanie did.
Oh, I'm smart.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I will never, ever, ever knit a skirt.
Really?
The shaping's too hard. There's only really one kind of skirt that looks really good on me, which is an A-line skirt, be it short or long. And there's no point in spending all that time, tears...
You cry when you knit? Susie, I don't think you should be knitting. If you cry every time you knit...
Why? Flush.
So wait, were you on the toilet knitting and crying? Is that why you just had to flush? Melanie's laughing so hard I'm worried she's gonna pee. So maybe
no, I did my exercises. I did my exercises, Bobby, don't worry.
Yeah, she did her exercises.
If I have to pee, I'll stop.
Okay, so you're never gonna knit yourself a skirt.
I never. Well, are you?
I would.
Would, but haven't.
No, I haven't. But I could imagine myself knitting the kind of skirt where I would wear... It's kind of a heavy skirt, and then maybe I would go for the layered winter look with it. And it would be sort of just at the knees, and then I would wear sweater tights underneath, and then probably knee socks. There are certain ones that I would knit.
Okay, well, yeah. What would you
What would never I never knit? Ever knit? Mm-hmm. I don't think I would ever knit a poncho with tassels.
Is it the poncho or the tassels?
I could see myself knitting... A mini poncho, where it would come maybe no lower than my elbows.
Okay.
That could be, especially in a lightweight, kind of sheer style, but I don't think I would ever knit a flowing poncho with long tassels.
Not even for me?
You want one?
Would it make you cry on the toilet?
While I'm knitting?
Yes.
Have you ever knit on the toilet?
No. I know you have.
Of course I have.
What do you mean, of course you have?
Like, who hasn't just been like... I really want to get this project done. I've got to use every possible moment.
Because you're busy. You've got dump everywhere.
What are your toileting habits? Usually when I have a bowel movement, it lands in the toilet, not everywhere.
You can't get a pee. You can't. Make me laugh.
Practice your exercises. You know what would be funny? If Melanie peed in her pants while we were podcasting.
Oh, time up.
Oh my goodness.
And for the record, I don't dump everywhere. Savvy Danny Pro's not going to let us use it.
I know. He's never totally vetoed a show before, but I have a feeling this one.
Okay, what next?
This one's going on to the cutting floor.
Okay. How many minutes?
3.
Okay.
This, oh dear. The most inappropriate phone conversation you could have while in public.
This is not mine.
No, this one's mine.
Okay. 3 minutes. Go.
I think maybe a discussion about your toileting habits.
We have to take this away from toilets. We're going to lose all the listeners who are actually still here.
No, but the thing is, the conversation we just had, not appropriate to do in front of other people.
Or on a podcast.
Or on a podcast.
Did I reiterate, I do not dump everywhere.
And I don't generally knit on the toilet. If I'm knitting for someone else, I don't knit while on the toilet.
But
sometimes I do. But let me just make it clear, I actually don't have to sit for that long.
No, don't make it clear. Jeez Louise.
Okay, all right.
Speedy dump. Dumpy Gonzalez.
Dumpy Gonzalez.
Okay, I've heard some very inappropriate conversations in New York because people there, no offense, New Yorkers, have no clue that other people can hear them when they're on their cell phones yelling.
So what have you heard?
I've heard a conversation about the morning after pill and whether or not it's a good preventative measure.
Okay, that's kind of inappropriate to have.
I've heard that. I think that was in an elevator. I've heard conversations about, a lot of them are relationship-based. People have a lot of fights. Child support, a lot of yelling in Spanish. I assume it's inappropriate.
It sounded inappropriate, oh, I'm sure.
What if he listens? I have a friend who's sexts. Have we talked about this? I guess it's not a phone conversation. I guess it's texting.
Texting about
sexting.
Sexting, yeah.
When I'm with him, and not to me, but we're hanging out having Pinkberry.
Which is ice cream,
which is frozen yogurt, delicious.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he'll start sending sexts on his phone to his, I wouldn't say his friends, because he met them online, his online sexting buddies.
That's inappropriate to do when you're hanging out with someone else.
He let me read them.
That's really inappropriate to do.
It was awkward. Yeah. How about you?
Inappropriate phone conversations. Anything about nasty diseases, crotch rot.
Have you heard a conversation about crotch rot?
But there's, I mean,
I think you're the only
it
one.
It would be inappropriate.
Talks about crotch rot.
I don't talk about crotch rot.
You just did. How's your crotch rot?
What? Let's just put it out there, everyone. I don't have crotch rot. Why won't these 22 seconds go by faster?
Okay,
even a conversation about athlete's foot. Maybe a description of athlete's foot would be fairly inappropriate.
I've had that with Savvy Mom when I had athlete's foot in Europe, and I haven't had crotch rot, but I did have a bit of athlete's foot when I wore the same socks. Anyway, let's not talk about that. It was raining in Rome, and I gave, granted, not very many people understood English, but oh, Mom got to hear all about it.
Over the phone.
Over the phone.
Here's one. Vintage knitting mags.
Oh, I have to go get them. So
we're a live podcast.
Well, say something while I'm getting them.
I'd just like to make it clear, I've never had crotch rot.
This is a... Okay.
Okay.
I thought we'd take 4 minutes and 26 seconds and look through this book together.
Okay, so this is Raglan Classics in Peyton's Beehive Fingering by Beehive.
Looks like it's from the late 50s.
And it says 50 cents on it.
I got this for free at a knitting store in Victoria. They were giving them away.
This is interesting. This collection of sweaters for the family has been planned for easy knitting with Peyton's Beehive Fingering Peytonized?
It's a special patent thing they to it.
Okay.
I have no idea.
The pure virgin wool used by knitters since 1785. Peyton's and Baldwin's, Canada, Limited, Toronto, 19. Whatever that is. Okay. So let's see.
What do you see?
We see two pullovers. The first one, it appears to be there along the bottom. There's ribbing along the bottom, and there are 3 different colors in stripes, and then all the ribbing along the edge of the sleeve as well. But it's a raglan sweater with a very closed neckline, quite high up on the neck. It's not a turtleneck, but it's almost cool, approaching a mock turtleneck.
And what's that called, the way the arm is attached?
Raglan. Raglan style.
But there's no shaping on the boobs.
There's no shaping at all, actually. There's no shaping. And then this sweater also has, I think, some kind of textured, maybe it's double seed stitch or something. I don't know what kind of stitch that is.
Who knows?
But anyways, it's a raglan style. This one's a V-neck. Let's see what else we have here. We have 3 kids. These are all Raglan style, by the way, because the book was called Raglan Classics. Basic sweaters. There's a cardigan for a baby.
It's a pretty cute cardigan.
And a relatively cute baby. And then a little boy who does not look like he's related to the woman or the child in the picture.
No, he's all ginger.
He appears to have freckles. And he's wearing a basic Raglan sweater with a V-neck. And, oh, definitely Mr. Rogers style cardigans.
Oh, wow.
Actually, that's one thing that I would like to knit.
Is Mr. Rogers?
No, a Mr. Rogers style.
Arigamumi, Mr. Rogers?
Mumu, Mr. Rogers? No. Just a Mr. Rogers style cardigan. Maybe for some guy sometime.
What guy? When?
The brother, maybe? Savvy Bro needs to look
at Savvy Bro is not Mr. Rogers.
It's just like a cozy cardigan that you take off your coat and you put on your cardigan.
And they take out your pipe.
No, Mr. Rogers didn't smoke. Not on TV, anyways.
Whoa, that's the worst shape I've ever seen.
Okay, so, but it looks sweet on the little girl. This is a cardigan, a button-up cardigan, Raglan style again, and just basic one-by-one rib at the bottom and around the bottom of the sleeves.
Look at her saying those words like she understands
But
them.
There's no, this one, the Raglan style, there's a woman's sweater here, and the Raglan style, they've done the increases with yarn overs at the shoulder arm portion. And they've put a cable in the middle of it.
You'd love that.
You can see here.
She doesn't like cables.
I don't really like knitting cables because I find them fiddly. Are we done yet?
No. There's two more.
Okay, so actually this is quite a cute sweater.
Wasn't that the brother and sister earlier in the book? Now they seem to be lovers.
No, they're not. Who knows? Anyways, this one, again, this is a woman's style cardigan. Button up the front. And then there's one by one ribbing that comes up to a high neck, kind of a mock.
I really like that. That's something I would wear if you made it for me.
And then it appears to be seed stitch along the bottom, sort of the bottom ribbing area, but it's more of a seed stitch, and up the arm as well. That's quite pretty.
She's gorgeous.
I might do a different neckline.
It's a pretty sweater.
And 24 seconds left. Three women sweaters. This one's quite pretty. Again, these are all very simple, very straightforward, slight variations on the necklines, but this one's basically looks like a knit one, purl two rib along the bottom and the V-neck area, and then it's a three-quarter length sleeve raglan.
Baby, time off.
There we go.
Luckily, that was 5 minutes not talking about poop.
We are
Thank
doing so
me
well.
For my topic.
Okay.
How many minutes?
Two. Tell a story of something interesting that's happened in the past week or two.
You go first.
Okay. I was driving with Savvy Mom home from the airport. We had an aunt visiting, and we were driving home, just leaving the airport area. And I looked up, and on one of the streetlights, there was a snowy owl
sitting
up there.
I don't know that
I've ever seen a snowy owl in real life. And it was beautiful, and it was just sitting there watching over the traffic. But he was a snowy owl. I saw it. It was so exciting. That's something exciting or something that's interesting that's happened.
Well, I've already told the pheasant story, so yeah. We'll skip over the most interesting thing.
That was fairly interesting.
One of my best friends had a baby. That's somewhat interesting.
Yes. Yeah, so tell the story of the baby.
There's a few things. Oh, we only have a minute, so there's a few things. The first is she almost named it Vlad.
Yes. Why Vlad?
I don't know. I think because her sister started calling it Vlad just as a joke, and after 9 months of hearing her call the baby Vlad, it seemed like a good idea.
Yeah. What did she name it instead?
She named it Leaf.
How did she spell Leaf? Is it L-E-A-F?
I don't remember.
If it's L-E-A-F?
It is not.
Okay.
I think it's L-I-E-F.
Okay. That's a different kind of Leaf.
And she's Scandinavian, or her family is part Scandinavian, and I think
that makes sense. Yeah.
She just Vlad. She had a lot of drugs. This is right after she had the baby. And I went to visit her in the hospital, and she said, yeah, Vlad. And they didn't name the baby for about 3 days. Mm-hmm. 2 or 3 days. And she said, Vlad, it's such a great name. There's never been anyone mean or cruel by the name of Vlad. And I felt like I was hurting a little bird. But I told her all about Vlad the Impaler, and she named the baby Leaf.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to see it today.
Yay, we're going to see the baby.
Baby. My story.
How are we doing for time, sis?
Well, we're doing well.
Okay.
How many minutes?
3. The most insulting thing you could say to a knitter. Can I have this in blue, please?
That's pretty insulting.
After it's already been knit.
Mm-hmm.
Or can I have it one size larger? Or smaller?
That was pretty insulting. I was just thinking of some kind of comment referring to the fact that you just bought the same thing at Old Navy for $1.97.
That also. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fairly insulting if someone receives a pair of hand-knit socks and then says, hey, you know what? I could get these at Walmart for $1.50. That's kind of insulting.
That's pretty insulting.
It's kind of insulting when you see someone who's knitting something obviously sized for an adult, and someone comes up to me and said, oh, are you pregnant?
Ooh, has that happened to you?
No, but I've heard it happening to other people. This is an adult sweater. At I don't know what size you think babies come out, but it's not this size.
At least they wouldn't go feel your stomach.
Oh my goodness, that would be terrible.
That would be. What else? I don't know if I can say this on the podcast.
Okay.
Goodbye, half of our listeners.
Okay.
But, oh, is that crochet? That could be insulting. If you're a crocheter, oh, what are you knitting? Could also be insulting.
I mean, I suppose it could be most insulting thing you could say to a knitter or a crocheter, which would be...
Is that red heart? What else? Yeah. What else is insulting?
I really like the gift box. That would be that they gave you something in a box. And...
Yeah, or if they just say, oh, I lost it. Oh, how are those mittens I knit for you with Fair Isle all over them? Oh, yeah, I lost one.
I lost one. Or, ooh... I gave it to the dog to play with. That would be pretty bad.
Or if you see it in the Goodwill store.
Yes, that would be pretty insulting.
Especially a sweater.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there are... The Goodwill store is a graveyard for abandoned knits. If you've ever wanted to cry...
It's the place where knitting goes to die.
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
I think those are good. All right.
Do you want to pick one out of the thing?
Okay, I'm just getting the timer ready.
I'll read it.
How much time do we need for this one?
Ooh, 2 minutes.
Oh, wow, it's a quick round. All right, what is it?
Top 10 reasons to crochet.
Ooh.
Moo-moos.
Moo-moos.
Aragon moo-moos.
Oh, right, I thought you meant moo-moo-moo.
No!
I was just being nice.
The Aragon roomies.
Okay, fewer sticks to lose.
Sticks to lose.
Mm-hmm.
They
come in neat colors, like shiny green.
It's true. It's true. And in fact, I think crocheting is significantly faster than knitting.
It is.
On average. Because there are some slow, like really fast knitters and some slow crocheters. But I think, you know, on average it's faster. And you end up with a more solid fabric.
You can make lace. I know that's tatting, but you use a crochet hook, don't you?
No, but you can also crochet lace.
Okay.
But you can knit lace as well. But it looks different.
It looks different.
But I also like that you have a nice solid fabric, so you can make things like aragamumus.
Can you felt crochet? Do people do that?
Yeah.
Okay, you can felt crochet. That's a reason to crochet.
Yeah.
Because it goes faster and then you can felt it.
Well, actually, that's a really good point. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
You're part of an even...
More elite group.
This is the thing. I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, were you a knitter? And you say, no, I crochet.
Exactly.
Or crochet.
Or crochet. speaking of crochet, I have a friend who was... Well, a colleague who became a friend who was in Bogota for 6 weeks... And she was at the grocery store one day and she bought me a magazine, a crochet magazine.
This is Nancy.
Yes.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Nancy Patsy.
And she bought it to me because the word for crochet, well, the title of it was C-R-O-C-H-E.
And she thought?
She thought it was like crochet.
Crochet.
So she thought it was funny and she bought it for me.
Well, so when you crochet, you've got a magazine.
Well, that, and it was just the Crotch magazine.
Okay, we need a few more reasons. We're almost out of time.
We're almost out of time.
You can make some neat bags. There are some really neat bags made out of crochet.
I think crochet is more portable.
Well, it is.
Definitely, because you only have one. With knitting, if your needle comes out, then you can unravel an entire row. Whereas with crochet, it's one stitch at a time, and it's a lot safer to travel.
What else?
I think also with crochet... You can adjust the size of things in a different way. Because crochet, you can build upon the edges. Whereas with knitting, it's very... Oh, I don't know how to...
It's beginning to end.
It's beginning to end, whereas crochet is a lot more flowing, free...
I've got a good metaphor.
Okay.
So knitting is like linear time, if you like Doctor Who. But if you're crocheting, it's all timey-wimey, and you're here and there and everywhere, just like you're in a TARDIS. So it's Doctor Who-ish if you're crocheting.
Clearly.
Now I kind of want to learn to crochet.
It's Doctor Who-ish.
Maybe we'll talk to Mom.
Okay. Maybe today or tomorrow.
And it's Savvy Mom approved. That's the last
Savvy Mom approved.
Okay.
Here's one. Oh, this one we need probably 1 minute.
Okay, go.
Recommend a book for our listeners to read.
Oh, well, they're knitting or holiday-wise or what?
Anything. Books that... Because you have all sorts of books you love, and you don't think enough people read the books you love?
They don't.
So...
Best book ever, Blue Castle by Ella Montgomery. Her Anne of Green Gables books are fantastic. Some people prefer the Emily books. I don't, but they're still great. But Blue Castle is a fantastic book. Also, The Story Girl, the two books there, The Golden Road and The Story Girl, are her second and third best book. They're fantastic. CanCon is good. We like Canadians.
Mm-hmm. And CanCon is in Canadian content?
Yep, CanCon. And Blue Castle is a fantastic book.
Okay, more?
Oh, more books. I've been reading, and you either have to get them on Gutenberg, which is free online old books, books that are out of copyright, so you could read them on your Kindle if you go that way, which I don't, or on your computer, or I actually have managed to get the hard copies of most of these books, but they're expensive and hard to get because they're old and they haven't been reissued. The Five Little Pepper books, they are wonderful. They're funny, and everyone read the Five Little Peppers and how they grew, but there's something like seven other books.
Okay.
And they're fantastic.
Maybe a minute was too short, so give a couple more. I have one I would love to recommend, and it's Around Africa on My Bicycle, I think is the title. Mm-hmm. The author is Rianne Manser, M-A-A-N-S-E-R, I think, mm-hmm. and it's a true story of, he wrote the book after he did this, but a South African who decided he was going to cycle around all of Africa. So he cycled, and he had some crazy experiences, and he wrote about them. And I learned a lot about Africa. I learned a lot about... I don't agree with all of his observations and opinions, but it was a fascinating book. And his interactions with authorities, his interactions... He was almost abducted by, not guerrillas, but by sort of rebel forces. It was a fascinating, fascinating book. And I think it's available on Amazon.
Great.
But I loved that one.
I Capture the Castle by Dodie Smith. Fantastic book. I had actually thought it was written more recently as if it was written in the 30s, but it was written in the 30s. Such a funny book.
What is it?
Well, it's basically Pride and Prejudice, okay. But retold as the diary entries of someone whose father takes them to live in an old crumbly castle in the middle of the UK.
Oh, neat.
But they have rich neighbors, they want to marry the sister off to them. It's essentially Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, neat.
But it's such a good book. Read it. It's fantastic. There was a movie made of it recently. I have not seen the movie yet. I don't know that I want to, but... Oh, also, Birds Without Wings by Louis de Bernard, the guy who wrote Captain Corelli's Mandolin, which is also really good. So those are my adult books. There's so many...
Tree Grows in Brooklyn, although I think most Americans read that in school.
Yeah, most Americans have read that.
But that was really good.
She wrote another one. Was it Joy in the Morning? She wrote three books. One I've had... She does a lot of dialects in it, I guess, I don't know. I think they're from Ireland. I think it's Irish dialects, and I found it hard to read because it's. I'm going to give it another try, but Tree Grows. It's just hard to read when someone writes dialect.
Yeah, because you don't necessarily read with the accent.
Exactly. So I had a bit of trouble with that, but it was years ago, and I really just I was on the toilet.
And everything comes back to the toilet.
I know. So I'm going to try that again. But Tree Grows in Brooklyn is excellent. And Joy in the Morning is just as good.
All right.
Betty Next Smith.
Topic.
All right. We're almost out of time. Good thing we have lots of topics left to do this again.
Yes, we do. We do. This one, a minute.
Okay. 2 minutes. What is it?
Okay. Can you knit hair while still on head? The answer is yes.
Have you knit hair while still on head?
No, but I think the answer is yes, but eventually you would run out because it's attached to a head.
I wonder how it would look if you knit hair on head. Would it be a really cool French braid kind of thing? Could you ever unravel it?
Well, you would have to eventually because you'd want to wash.
I guess so.
I mean, it wouldn't be that. It would be very slippery, so I don't think the stitches would stay in well. I mean, it depends if you have curly hair or not. Because if you had straight hair, it would be very slippery. If you have curly hair...
It would look
hair,
really nice, so you'd see the different definition of the stitches.
You would see stitch definition on straight hair. But I think it would fall out. Whereas with curly hair, it's a little more... I mean, I say this from a place of curly hair. But it's a little bit more the way sheep's hair would... Sheep's hair.
That's true.
It's a little more similar to the curliness of a sheep.
That's true.
And it would probably stay in better. I've never tried it. We could do that this afternoon.
No,
if you
want
to sacrifice your hair.
No, no, no.
While still on head.
I just wondered if there was a knitter who had a fantastic wedding updo ever made out of
knitting.
Their own hair knitted.
I have never even considered that.
Well, obviously you're not a committed knitter.
Or I just haven't been married yet.
Or that. Okay, well, I think we have time for just one more. So this is the
final one?
Yeah. I wonder if people are going to hate this.
I don't know.
I mean, a lot of it has been about bathrooms.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
I don't think we can do this one.
What is it?
Toilet knitting. Why? How? Strategies for success.
Toilet knitting. Why, how, and strategies for success? Who put that in?
That would be Melanie. And to round out the toilet podcast, we have a toilet question.
Well, why? Why? Because it's uninterrupted knitting time, I suppose.
It is uninterrupted. I mean, it depends how
I've
much
never
you
done
need
this.
To, depends how much you need to concentrate. Because you might need to interrupt yourself.
That's true.
But why? Because it's an efficient use of time.
I suppose.
And you're already sitting, and I knit faster while I'm sitting.
I can't believe that's the last question.
I know.
Strategies for success.
Okay, so first the how.
How?
How? Okay, and how and strategies for success, okay. I think, go together. I think if you want to be respectful of whoever is receiving the gift, maybe put a towel over your lap. I mean, it depends, first of all. That's assuming you're a woman.
Have you ever actually done this with a towel?
No.
Okay. Wait, are we talking public toilet?
Are we?
Have you ever done it on a public toilet?
No.
Like, at work?
No.
You never sat down for a quick dump?
A quick...
This is going to be the worst podcast
ever.
Okay, so you're at home, you're in your bathroom,
home.
Which you've cleaned, or someone who loves you has cleaned. Hopefully, so it's not your roommate, and it's not that dirty.
That's right. So I think to be respectful, a strategy for success would be to put something over your lap so the ball of yarn is not sitting...
on your ball, if you're a guy.
If you're a guy, even more awkward. Because for those who are unfamiliar with anatomy, guys have more outside anatomy and girls have more inside anatomy.
I hope everyone's somewhat familiar with anatomy.
Okay.
So put something down, clean towel.
Clean towel or something like that.
No also, hair babies.
Yeah, no.
No hair babies.
You don't want to find unexpected hairs.
Unexpected fibers.
Foreign fibers. In your knitted garment.
Oh, this cowl is a little itchy.
This cowl is a bit itchy.
Okay.
All right. So that. I would also say that it's important to protect the ball of yarn.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be careful that it doesn't land on the floor.
Unexpected fibers.
Well,
or in the toilet.
That would be unexpected, and I would probably take it out of the toilet for starters.
Would you wash it before or after you're done knitting your garment?
I'd probably do both.
Okay.
Yeah. We didn't set the timer for this one, so we're talking indefinitely.
Well, we have, okay, strategies for success. Is there...
Okay, so make sure the ball of yarn doesn't land on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Also, watch out for the knitting sticks, because you're lacking in protection.
That's true.
Watch out for poking yourself in places that would be painful.
I thought just don't drop them in the toilet. I guess we have different ideas.
Well,
because... I wanted to protect the sticks. You wanted to protect your...
body. The thing is, though, if you're sitting on the toilet, how much empty toilet space do you have? I normally cover most of the hole.
I cover most of the hole, too.
I mean, I don't want to call myself fat, but usually when I sit on the toilet, there's not a lot of...
wiggle room? Right, okay. And
maybe a little bit at the back, but
okay,
not at the side.
Fine.
Okay. Other strategies for success? I mean, are we talking successful knitting or successful toileting?
No, successful knitting!
Okay.
It's a knitting podcast. Jeez Louise.
Okay. I mean, I would say for successful toileting habits, recognize when you need to concentrate and put your knitting down.
Okay.
If you want to have a successful toilet time, you can't always be distracted.
I have never knit on the toilet, but you've almost convinced me. Except it's knitting and knitting is boring.
Right. Maybe toilet crochet?
Maybe toilet crochet. Fewer things to drop.
It's neat and it's sweet. It's a ding-dong treat. Little socks for little feet.
Just knitting with your knitting all day long.
Knitting's friendly and knitting's fun.
Knitting's good for everyone, and that is why we sing this knitting song.
With knit one, purl two, what's a knitter gonna do with a gall? Darn, ball of yarn, and stitch three, drop four, pitch that knitting out the door right now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this unusual episode of the Savvy Girls Podcast. I would like to apologize.
For the entire episode. Who do we want to apologize to?
We should
Savvy Bubby.
To Savvy Bubby.
Sorry, Savvy Bubby. Thanks for your advice, but sorry about everything.
We're really sorry. To Savvy Mom.
For everything.
For embarrassing you.
For shaving the family. Savvy Dad and Savvy Mom, we shaved the family.
I'd like to apologize to all of our listeners.
Yep.
to crocheters.
And to knitters.
And to knitters. And to those who work with Red Heart. And to Red Heart entirely.
And to toilets everywhere.
And to toilets everywhere.
I apologize to Savvy Bro for having to listen to this.
If you are a new listener, I'd apologize to you also.
Yeah, maybe if you're a new listener, you should just
don't listen to this episode. I know it's probably too late by now.
Yeah.
But I would say maybe give us another try on another episode.
Yeah, maybe listen to the last one. That was a good one. Whatever it was yeah. better than this.
Clearly.
And that's all we got. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Let's go eat cookies.
Let's go eat cookies.
Would look silly without lime green stripes.
Well, don't shout.
I shout if I want to. And do you know why?
Why?
Because I hate knitting.